Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everybody, welcome to Serious Issues, a comic book podcast hosted by two of the greatest comic book readers in the galaxy. My name is Andrew Levins.
And my name is Siobhan Coombs. Hello.
She's back, everybody. It's been, I don't know how long, but
yeah,
you're back.
I know. Yeah. I'm always there in some kind of nebulous sense, but just
you're always
sometimes
reading
not
comics somewhere.
Literally. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually pretty true. If you think about
it,
it's
a good constant.
I'm probably reading comics somewhere.
So today on the show, Siobhan has read a bunch of comics that weren't published in Japan, and I have not.
Hooray! Well, some of mine were, but I'm excited to hear.
Some of yours were.
I'm excited to hear what you're reading.
Oh, you know what? I did read some American comics too. So you know what? It's a bit of everything from everyone today.
Wahoo!
But I want to kick things off with something I have not read any of, but it looks like you've read some of, and that is superhero comics, specifically DC superhero comics, the last thing I would ever read in 2021. Unless you tell me they're good and I should check them out.
Well, that is probably what I'm about to do, because I've come around again and I'm no longer really reading any Marvel comics. I'm still reading a bit of X-Men here and there, but it's all got too much for me suddenly and I can't be fucked anymore. But DC,
I'm really interested in catching up on Al Ewing's Guardians of the Galaxy. That seems cool.
Oh, yeah.
Except for, Doom is in the Guardians of the Galaxy, apparently. So that sounds fun.
Put Doom in something and I'm probably going to read it.
Yeah, but then they got Brett Booth to do the covers. So you are not going to want to read it because you just see what they look like there. And they're like, okay, this looks awful.
No, thank you.
But interiors look decent.
But DC are doing this sort of line-wide mini-event, which I quite like when they do, sort of self-contained two-issue mini-series called Future State. I'm sure you all know that. No one needs me to tell them that. But it's sort of set in a potential future post-apocalyptic... Future State, exactly. After all the Dark Knight's Metal stuff, which I have no knowledge of, I have no idea what that's all about, but it's like there's these evil robo... cops called the Magistrate, and they are like have gotten rid of capes. It's like that classic thing of like capes are outlawed. All right, guys, no more masks, just our robo masks. And so like there's no more Batman, or is there? There's actually like three Batman, obviously. And we've got the very good Nightwing series by Andrew Constant and Nicola Scott, which is like genuinely great, really good fun. And I'm reading most of the Batman titles. So there's The Next Batman, which is written by, I don't even know. There's lots of new people. John Ridley, art by Laura Braga, breakdowns by Nick Darrington, colors by Arif Prianto. And it's really good fun. So it's about Lucius Fox's son. What's his name?
Someone Fox. Lucius Fox Jr. Batwing.
Batwing. Batwing, exactly. Batwing's the next Batman. And so he's trying to sort of... He's dealing with the twin thing of, like, his family now hate capes. They took so much from us. And his mom's like, fuck those hero guys. While he's also trying to be Batman. That's good fun. And the backup stories are really good. There was a really good Grifter one written by Matthew Rosenberg. That was...
Okay.
Like, it's just... I like it.
They're like biannual attempt to do something with the Wildstorm characters.
Exactly. But I just enjoy the DC universe so much more when it's like self-contained, small scale, out of continuity. You really don't have to fuck around with like loads of bullshit. They're just good fun. And like the new Wonder Woman's really good. The Yara Flor, whatever her name is, the sort of South American Amazon one.
Yeah, cool.
But so like they're good fun superhero comics. But I'm more probably excited about the resurgence or the reappearance of Batman Black and White, which is like the classic sort of anthology series from great sort of a variety of great creators. The first issue had like a Trad Moore comic in it, which was really, really great. This one that has an awesome Sophie Campbell doing a really awesome, super sexy Catwoman series.
This is the fourth volume of Batman Black and White. The first one was in the 90s and had like everyone. I remember that had one of my favorite Batman comics of all time by Bruce Timm about Two-Face.
Yep.
And there's also like a really insane, nonsensical Batman story by the dude who did Akira.
Awesome.
That's brilliant.
That's so good.
Then I remember that they brought it back. I mean, it's either the third or the fourth. But yeah, they kind of get. Sometimes they get some awesome wild cards. Other times it's just them getting really solid comic book artists and writers. Often it's like, yeah, artists' first attempt at writing a story as well.
Yeah. But it's just great standalone Batman comics. And I love that DC is sort of putting more effort back into that stuff. And I think it's interesting the way they're sort of focusing on like kids stuff and then also like the Black Label stuff. They're kind of trying to do something for everyone in a way that it's a bit more satisfying than everything just being like part of this kind of heaped, messy continuity. So I'm a DC fan.
I want to know
is what I'm trying to say.
What about Nightwing? What's going on with Nightwing? Is it good?
Well, the Future State series is really good. I'm not reading the current run, but it's about to. Tom Taylor's about to take over.
The Andrew Constant, Nicholas Scott stuff is just tying into Future State.
Yeah, it's just a 2-issue mini, but it's excellent because it's like Nicola drawing sexy Nightwing. You can't go wrong. And Andrew has a good kind of mind for that sort of post-apocalyptic, cynical kind of stuff because that's kind of who he is as a person.
So this is just kind of like a fun glass of mouthwash after all of Scott Snyder's mess.
That's exactly what it is. It's really like a have fun with the DC universe again, even though it's a bit of a grim kind of universe.
For two issues,
and then we're back to on our bullshit. But I think the new Nightwing run with Tom Taylor will be good fun, and we're definitely going to do something with him and Kings when that's coming out, so keep an eye on that.
I think Tom Taylor works best when he's on a DC property.
He's so
as
good.
As much as I love his Wolverine run, there are a few other runs he did for Marvel that I didn't love anywhere near as much as I did his various, the things that I'm like, oh, this won't be good. When like you know, the one where like the zombie virus that everyone got from looking at phones or whatever.
That was good, man.
That was so good. I know it got so good, and I all these, and even the one that tied into the video game where you know
Injustice, that
was one of my favorite things ever, and it just celebrated everything about the DC universe. Tom Taylor's so good at that, but yeah, I'm keen to read him on Nightwing.
Absolutely.
One day, one of these days.
If DC is smart, they'll make him new Geoff Johns and fire Geoff Johns.
Hey, have you seen, speaking of Geoff Johns, have you seen Wonder Woman 1984?
Nah.
It is like an amazing trip back. Like, they wanted to take you on a trip back to the 80s, but instead they take you back on a trip to the late 90s when no studio had any idea how to make a superhero movie.
It also seems like a bit like, look at the sort of Middle Eastern people who are our enemies.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not throwback
to the 90s.
not that keen for. But you know what? I'm really enjoying WandaVision against all my, like, better. Like, I was like, nah, fuck the MCU. I'm too cool for that shit. I don't like it at all. And now Nadal and I are like, WandaVision's great. Have you guys watched it? It's excellent.
Great.
I'm having a good time with it.
Yeah, I'm having an awesome time with it, but I kind of, and I'm sure you probably agree with me, I just wish it was a sitcom all the time.
Oh, yeah,
when
I go yeah,
back
yeah.
to, like, the MCU stuff, I'm like, yes. okay.
The second it changed and, like, the aspect ratio changed, I was like, fuck this shit, I don't want this, I don't want Jimmy Woo, I want a 1950s sitcom this whole time.
Oh, no, I love Jimmy Woo. Jimmy
Woo
is amazing.
He is good, but also, fuck yeah.
Did you watch the most recent one?
Where
Kat Dennings' character is a hacker now?
Yeah, yeah. I just need to hack into this. Done.
Yeah. Okay, has there ever been in history a good hacking scene?
All of the scenes like, in Hackers?
In Jurassic Park. I like the hacking scene in Jurassic Park where it's like, Lex knows computers. Yeah. Like the girl just knows computers. But hey, I think it's so funny that Hackers... Like, I can accept that a character is good at hacking, but if they're so good at hacking, why do they announce to all the other characters that they're
I'm about to hack this. Yeah.
I'm going to hack this now. And they always say mainframe. It's just that the writers are using a computer to write the script. Why don't they know more about computers than hacking and mainframe?
But isn't that so the truth about our generation? We all are completely reliant on all these machines and we have no idea how they fucking work. At least that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, but you choose to have no idea how your machine fucking works.
Very true. Very true.
And that's what makes it cool. I want to talk about a manga that I read 34 volumes of in less than a week.
You are so crazy. Genuinely, so I had coffee with Chris from Blueprint Comics yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Neal, our good buddy.
Me in the Pit.
Because he's got some cool shit coming
out
soon.
Previous guest of the show.
Meet
Me in the Pit. And what's the Food Comics one again?
So that's called Steady Diet. It's actually not been released yet. The launch was fucked up by COVID.
That's why.
So he's got he is launching it soon. You should be able to buy it soon. And he's got another original graphic novel coming out from a local creator, which is awesome.
Oh, that's
looks
awesome.
So good.
Go, Chris.
But we were genuinely sitting there
at Blueprint Comics.
How does Levins read so much? I don't understand. We're both how do you do that? Because he's I sat there and I have no obligations. I have no children, but I can't read as much manga as Levins.
Well, for me, it is knowing that I have so much stuff to do and then knowing that there's something that I absolutely adore that I can reward myself with if I do all the stuff that I have to do as quickly as possible.
Oh, that's really good. That's really smart.
Also, aiming to get 8 hours of sleep, but then going, secretly it's fine if it's only six, and then staying up for way too late reading. Also, setting an alarm early and being so into a series that normally you'd be like, meh, and hit the snooze button, but going like, fuck yeah, and then jumping out of bed and reading a book.
that genuinely reminds me of myself as an 8-year-old. You're like just this...
That's me.
Exactly. You're just this eternal child. It's really good. Anyway, what have you been reading? Tell me all about it.
Well, actually, you just remind me of Archie, who is 7, my son, who is... He's like that too. You'll be like, hey, Archie, go clean your room. And he'll do it with a book in his hand the entire time.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to stop reading. And so something that should take him 3 minutes takes him an hour. Because
Otto's
won't just put the book down.
Otto's the same, but he just won't do the cleaning of the room. He'll just sit and read Dog Man. All right, whatever.
Oh, man, Dog Man's so good.
Oh, man, it's so funny. Captain Underpants is so funny as well. Oh, man.
I put in the Scholastic Order. Because we do the book club at Archie's school, and there was a bunch of Dav Pilkey books from pre Captain Underpants days.
Yeah. The bunnies.
And they were it's like a dragon series.
Cool.
And it was they were $3, so we got a bunch of them. I think they're going to be early readers, so if they're way too young for Archie, we'll pass them over.
Yes, please. Dav Pilkey is a fucking weird genius. I don't know how he does it, but. Man,
yeah.
Professor Poopy Pants, one of the best characters of all time.
Which it introduces kids to puns, which for most people, including myself, that's the height of humor.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's putting two words together. It doesn't get funnier than that. But so I've been reading I'm considering reading it again because I loved it so much.
Mm.
It's a manga series about a teenage boy who starts a band, and the manga is called Beck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's written by Harold Sakuishi.
Chris was telling me that you told him to read this.
Yes. I planned to read this last year because if you have an iPad and you have Amazon Prime, maybe even if you just have a Kindle that you can read comics on. I know, Siobhan, you refuse to understand.
I have none of these things.
How good an iPad is. But a lot of people have Amazon Prime. It's a few bucks a month. You pay it to get shipping and to feel guilty about giving Jeff Bezos money. But you can also use it to read comics for free. So there is just a thing called Prime Reading. And if you have the Kindle app on your phone, you link it to your Amazon account, you get access to a ton of different stuff. There's lots of first issues of Marvel's comics, of DC comics, all that basic stuff, whatever. What you want to do is go deeper because there are There's the entire series of The Drops of God, Siobhan.
Oh, sick.
Which you can read for free with Prime Reading. Now, awesome. That is a series that has never been translated and released in full in the Western world. But it's only available in English digitally, and you can read it for free in full with Prime Reading.
There's another
Shonen series called The Shaman King, which I've been looking forward to, and Beck was on there too. And so I picked up Beck. I took me like months to get through Death Note, a Shonen Jump series that I heard good things about. I hated it, man.
I wouldn't have thought it was such a slog.
It was such a slog. But you know, I just had to power through. I liked some of it, and the ending was good. And then there was like a chapter that came out last year, like an extra that was amazing. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, I think it's just of its time. It's the kind of writing I hate, where it's telling instead of showing. Very Chris Claremont X-Men. I just said Chris Claremont X-Men, and then the canonically lovely boyfriend of Siobhan, Nate, just walked in the room as if I summoned him. Hey, little Dashy.
Poo. Oh, Dashy said poo. Dash's favorite.
Oh, good.
Poo.
Poo's a good word, Dash.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so Beck is this manga about like this like typical like you know warflower you know schoolboy character Koyuki or Yukio. Who's 14, desperate, like madly in love with a girl a bit older than him that he's known since he was a kid, that is like a swimmer. And so it starts out as like a kind of like typical like Japanese high school manga. And then it becomes about music, and Yukio starts like learning the guitar, and he meets a older rock star who grew up in New York and like knew a very famous, there's this band called Dying Breed that are like an American band that are pretty much like Nirvana, I guess, like this very Nirvana-like kind of figure.
Right, cool.
And so he basically starts a band with someone that grew up with a member of Dying Breed. And then it chronicles them putting a band together. He's still doing school stuff when the band starts. Dash is going to love Beck for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dash is very musical.
Over 34 volumes, the band like goes on tours, records a single, records an album, does festival appearances, and the whole thing is done like a shonen manga, so that like there are villains. However, they're like record label bosses,
cool.
Or they're like festival organizers who like you know grow over the course of the series, and then end up you know teaming up with members of Beck to take down a bigger villain. And there's even like you know powerful weapons, except. Instead of swords, it's like a legendary guitar that one of the world's best blues guitarists was using the night he died, and it's riddled with bullet holes.
Cool.
And so like it's called Lucille, and that's like you know this mystical weapon in the world. It's so good, Siobhan.
You would adore awesome.
It if you ever get
is
over
it
your fears.
Is it physical? Can I get it somehow?
Again, this is like Drops of God. You can only read like the first. I think it's like 13 volumes of it.
Okay.
And then they, I guess, for Prime Reading, they finished the translation and released
cool.
it digitally.
That is cool. I am deeply anti-Amazon, so I'll probably never do it. But, you know, in some universe, it's cool that exists.
There's, like, a lot of very, very... I mean, like, look, I'm anti-Amazon, but it's also too good of a... Like, obviously, you know, running doing Hey Fam, needing to watch some of the programs
of course.
On Prime Video, and then... You just get suckered into buying everything on Amazon Prime, and now just like I can't excuse myself for supporting them. But while I'm here, I'm going to get my goddamn money's worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, if anyone else is in the same boat, fire up Prime Reading because Beck is like it's top five series I've ever read easily.
Cool, like comics wise or manga wise or just full stop.
Comics wise, but I mean a good deal of that top five is manga now anyway. So it's so hard to go back to comics.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I really do. Like there's such a like variety available and such like a deep like a high level of skill and commitment and like devotion to the form that you sort of don't find as much in Western comics. And there's such a... Western comics, or at least American comics, have been so hampered by superheroes, I think. Not that I don't love superhero comics, but, like, yeah, no.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, like, shonen manga tropes. Like, obviously, even though I've read shitloads in the last 3 years, I still haven't read anywhere near as many shonen manga stories as I have superhero stories. So maybe there will be a burnout moment for me. But for me, it's just that, like, you know, they're so good at making you feel for a character and wanting that character to succeed, whether it is, you know, watching his band, you know, perform to hundreds of thousands of people in the UK,
mm-hmm.
or it's you know, him becoming the Pirate King. You know, you just want that character to go up against all odds and come out as the winner and achieve their goals, don't you, Dash?
Isn't that right, Dash?
Shonen manga?
Yeah.
Can you say Luffy?
Oh, he's so sad I won't learn Thai. Also, he hates One Piece. It's mainstream. Oh, Dashie, it's okay. Yeah, I know. You want chips? Yeah. Speaking of manga, maybe this will distract him because it's just so funny. I've started reading Crayon Shin-chan for the first time.
Oh,
you ever
God,
read Crayon Shin-chan? Oh my
I've only watched like moments of the anime. This is like an enormous comedy series.
Yeah, like
all ages, right?
Everyone, like most people, have read Crayon Shin-chan by this point, but it's the first time that I've read it because a friend passed her copies on to me, and I haven't laughed so hard in so long. It's so funny, especially if you're a parent. Like, I mean, because Crayon Shin-chan is just like the naughtiest kid in the world, the rudest, most like disgusting kid in the whole world, just making his mom's life an absolute nightmare. And it's very relatable as a mother of two boys. Incredibly
yeah,
relatable.
Who get their willies out all the time, I'm sure.
Look. Yes.
isn't that's all I know about Shin-chan, is that he gets his dick out all the time.
Yeah, basically. The first story is like, his mum's like, what happened to all of my lipstick? And he's drawn all over himself, and like turned himself into an elephant. And there's just a little note that says, it goes all the way up to his butthole. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. So I do really, I don't know, I'm sure you can get a Crayon Shin-chan digitally. I don't know if it's in print at the moment. I haven't seen it in print in a long time. And these
That's
are really
a gorgeous
old
edition you've got.
Yeah, they're really nice. They're like these three, I've got three sort of omnibus volumes. But it's like, good God, it's so funny. It's so expressive. The mom is such a like, poor sad character. And he's such a like, hilarious naughty kid. I love it. I really, really rate it. The most fun I've had with a comic in a long time.
It's out of print. You're going to be looking to paying around $100 for volume one. So you got a
Well.
You got a gold mine in front of you right now, Dash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sell mum's manga. Sneak out at night and sell mum's manga.
Or
sell those Tezuka originals she's got.
They are probably like, I saw that one of my volumes of Blackjack is worth like $300. Well, not worth, but someone was trying to sell a copy for $350.
Some idiot would pay $300 for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Me. It's worth it. So good.
So the other book that I read on Prime Reading is a Comixology original. It's called Youth. Because there's also, there's a few Comixology originals. It's tied, because Amazon owns Comixology as well.
Yeah.
So that, like, there's all these different levels of getting free comics through Amazon stuff. There's Prime Reading, then there's Kindle Unlimited, and then there's Comixology Unlimited. Youth is a series written by Kurt Pyers, with art by Alex Dioto, colors by Dee Kniff, and letters by Micah Myers. And it starts out as a very kind of edgy coming of age story with two like queer male teenagers who kind of run away from, like, steal one of their father's cars and drive off into the night to kind of make their way through California. And they go to a house party, and like one of them is actually bi and hooks up with a girl, and it becomes like very, like, you know, everyone yelling at each other and you know, fuck our parents, blah blah blah. And then the van they're in gets hit by a meteor. and the rest of the series is actually about these teenagers getting superpowers.
Classic.
So it's kind of like that movie Chronicle.
Yeah.
Now, you might know this series if you've seen in like Facebook advertising. The covers pretty much look like Paper Girls. It's like very, like, you know, three colors. There's even, like, I swear that the same like palettes for some of the colors that Paper Girls did. And
Paper Girls is pretty influential at this point.
I don't know if I would recommend you spend, you know, $10 on reading this, but if you have Prime, It was amusing. I've kind of spoiled this most amusing part, just when I was like, oh, I kind of hate these characters, and then their van got hit by a meteorite. I was like, oh, great. Now what? it was a kind of great, excellent, like, what the hell moment.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good surprise, especially if they've managed to, like, keep that a secret.
But it's only four issues. I think it could have been, maybe, hopefully, if it does well enough, I can see them actually using the ideas, because it moves way too quickly. Mm. There's a lot of good ideas that aren't explored to their full, like, the fullness they deserve. But maybe if they were to build on this in next series, or even just something unrelated, there's definitely talent in the writing and art crew. Kurt Pyers, he's done no series that I recommend. Recognize. The Fiction, The Forevers, Olympia, The Tomorrows, Pop, Word with a Y. Yeah, I don't know. He's written for a bunch of other, like, you know, Dark Horse and mostly Dark Horse stuff, but this is his first one for Comixology Unlimited.
That's cool.
There's also a Chip Zdarsky book called Afterlift.
Yeah. It won the Eisner for digital comic, but now it's out.
Right. And
you can get it physically in trade now.
Dark Horse have just released it physically.
It's supposed to be very good. But, haven't read it, but looks good. It's about apps and ride sharing.
Things that that Siobhan likes. Are you also against ride sharing?
I mean, in some sense. I mean, I'm fine with, like, you know, I think they treat their employees pretty badly. But, you know.
They sure do.
Whatever. Just like, it's a different podcast. Just like
Amazon Prime. And you can read, the last two books that I read on Prime Reading.
Dashiell. You know what is the absolute opposite of Prime Reading, I would say, into, like, in every possible sense, is Shortbox, which I talk about all the time.
Awesome.
And
you
I
can forgot finally... to talk about it last time we recorded.
Yes.
You had all these new comics that you just burned through and forgot to mention any of them. Yeah. So let's make up for that now.
All
Shortbox
right.
is a subscription service that sends out small independent comics a quarterly, is it?
Yeah, so they do it. You can get the Shortbox, like, box quarterly, and that's just like a selection of cool stuff that they've done recently, and usually a little chocolate as well. But you can also just buy the issues normally. Like, I think you can just purchase everything separately. Yeah, time to try and get Dashiell to have a nap.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, you can buy stuff just regularly on the website as well, individually. So I'm going to talk about the four that I got recently. I'll just talk about them pretty quickly, though. My absolute favourite is Sobek by James Stokoe. It's just a little single issue.
And it's only available through Shortbox?
Mm-hmm, as far as I know.
That's sick.
Beautiful.
James Stokoe, one of the best cartoonists alive.
Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous cover, like beautiful gold kind of embossing and stuff like that. And Sobek is like the crocodile god from ancient Egypt. And this whole comic is just about him traveling down the Nile to rescue one of his kind of cities from Set, another evil god.
Shit.
It's so beautiful.
Looks so good.
Classic James Stokoe covers, like, super gorgeous, really amazing. But also Sobek is, like, the cutest little croc of all time. And he just talks in, like, this really quiet, like, hey guys, what's going on? And when they're all like, oh great, Sobek, we need your help. He's like, sure, I can help you out. And then it's just like this long sequence of him traveling down the Nile, but having to have, like, loads of naps because he's so massive. And it's just my favorite book. And, like, my kid loves it. It's super, like, you know, you could totally read it to your kid. It's, like, not inappropriate in any way. And it's just, like, super fun, super beautifully drawn. The colors are incredible. Like, absolutely one of my all-time favorite comics. Went right to the top of the
that's
list.
Amazing.
So good.
So absolutely I just went to shortbox.co.uk, and you can buy this comic direct from them. It's £9.
You're going to be really hammered for shipping costs if you're outside of the UK, but it's so worth it, man. And, like, there's such a great
company.
How
much does it cost to get the subscription box?
So the last time I got it, I can't remember how much the actual box was, but it ended up being about $80 to $90 for me to get, including shipping, which is, like, you know, achievable. It's pretty expensive, but, like, I just think that as a editor, I think that Zainab Octavia is so amazing. I think that, like, the people that she works with, she just has, like, the best contacts, the most impeccable taste. I just think she's amazing. And I think that what they do as a company is so great.
Yeah, great. So each box contains 5 comic books, at least 1 extra item, and some sweets.
Yeah, they usually put, like, a print in. I've got some really cute prints from the last couple of times when I got them. I rate getting the box as well. I also got Beneath the Dead Oak Tree by Emily Carroll. So Emily Carroll did, like, Through the Woods and a couple of... she has a really sort of distinctive anthropomorphic... Victorian gothic kind of style, and this is like exactly the same sort of thing. It's a bit sort of fairy tale inspired, but also werewolves, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, the art looks fantastic in that one. This one is £7 on the website if you want to buy that one.
If you like sort of
this is me just putting a cart together for myself.
If you like sort of gothic horror romance furries, then you really can't get any better than Emily Carroll.
Sure,
if you
do.
Like fairy tales, if you like sort of contemporary takes on fairy tales, just everything she does is like beautiful, beautifully composed, the colors are amazing. Just I'm obsessed with Emily Carroll. Anything she does, I'll get. So that's a really good one as well. I'd also really recommend getting Don't Go Without Me, which is like a much bigger, sort of thicker book by Rosemary Valera O'Connell, the artist.
£14.
Laura Dean keeps breaking up with me.
Wow, what an amazing lineup. God,
yeah, exactly.
So good.
And this is like it's like a sci-fi sort of a queer sci-fi romance, I would describe it as a sort of I kind of don't want to say anything more about it because I don't really want to give it away, but again, it's got a beautiful gold embossed cover and it's like a beautiful, like, nice sort of thick spine, and the art's like, it's very sort of gray tone pastels, all the colours throughout, and like she's just one of the most talented artists working, I think, at the moment. So that's another great one that I really recommend. Everyone should order.
Kings
from
should stock their stuff.
Yeah, I know. I've looked into it.
You can apply to be you can apply to be their stockist. I know it's not you.
Look, one of these days.
Would you recommend? What's jumping out to me the most is a book called Food Baby.
You know, I haven't read that, but it looks amazing.
By Lucy Byron.
Get it, and then
like
I can read it.
42 pages, full color compilation of illustrated recipes, comics about food.
God, I love comics
about
food.
About cooking, from someone who once made a potato catch fire.
That's exactly what I want.
Check out all those comics, shortbox.co.uk.
Yeah.
I'm going to make up for my past sins, sign up for the mailing list, get their next box, and then add a bunch of their old books to cart when I buy the box too.
It's a good idea. I recommend it.
Combine that shipping.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The only thing left on my list that I've read, and it's one that I'm currently in the middle of reading. I always go for really, really obscure manga series, as you know from my love of gambling manga and mahjong manga specifically. But there are a lot of like big black holes of things that I know I have to read one day. That's why I was getting through all the Naoki Urasawa stuff, which I've loved every moment of. And I think we're going to talk about his latest one very soon. But there are a bunch of like legendary series that I know I have to read one day. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Which are the big ones I want to try and tackle this year? And I've never read Full Metal Alchemist, which I know a lot of people absolutely adore.
Love.
I've never read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Well, I've read the first two parts of it, but I know that there's so much more beyond that, and that's when it gets really, really good. So I'm going to try and get through all of JoJo's this year.
Awesome.
But the book that I'm trying to get through, and it's kind of widely regarded as maybe the best, like, you know, adult manga of all time,
mm-hmm.
is Berserk.
Oh. Have
you ever read any of Berserk?
Nah, I've never even considered reading Berserk. Tell me about it. Because I don't really know that one. So like, I know it's ultra Berserk, violent.
Yeah, so Berserk is written by Kentaro Miura. And Berserk is like, and this you'll be like, why is Levin's reading this? Berserk is a like a medieval fantasy horror book.
That doesn't sound like your sort of thing at all.
Yeah, and the first few, so I'm on the sixth volume of the manga now, and basically it's about this dude called Guts who is a soldier. We meet him as a soldier in the first volume. And he has an enormous sword, and he has like a crossbow strapped to one of his arms. He basically, like, the first few volumes are just him taking on like big threats, taking them down, like shooting them full of bolts, I guess, from his crossbow, and then like slicing them in half with his big sword. It's gory, but in the way that like 80s gory was. So like, you know, you'll see someone's head get like sliced down the middle, but it'll just be like, you know, scribble in the middle, and then like maybe his eye will pop out or something like that. It's like, yes. It's fun gore.
Yeah.
But you know, you see him take down like a demon who's been eating people. Then on the third volume, after you've met, like it's mostly the main characters are this dude Guts, and then this like fairy called Puck who tags along with him on a few adventures who keeps trying to see the good in him, but Guts is like, you know, he kills the bad guys, but he also doesn't help the good guys. She can't understand Guts at all. And then on the third, basically, like, you know, we're working towards him fighting this big demon. And when he finally does, we go back in time and we basically see his origin story. And I found the first, like, yeah, like 2.5 volumes, like, oh, like, yeah, this is fine. It's just kind of like, you know, demon. I was almost it almost feels like, you know, Junji Ito-esque kind of like horror stories, except it's with the same characters. Each adventure doesn't feel too related to one another. And then as soon as you go back and you learn more about this character, I was just hooked.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
Yeah, there's like 39 volumes this is now one of those series where you get like 3 new chapters a year.
Wow, I didn't realize it was still going.
Yeah, it's still going.
That's crazy.
I think it's been going since the 80s. There's numerous anime adaptations, one of which only covers this like back in time stuff. It's called the Golden Age or something. And it's like him basically becoming a mercenary soldier and meeting all these characters that I guess are going to betray him in the future. And So the anime series based on that, yeah, it's called the Golden Age arc. That's beloved, but then in like 2016 they made a very like apparently like hated and cringy attempt at like doing all the rest of the arcs, and nobody likes that. So I don't know. I might go back and watch the older one, but I'm really enjoying reading it.
Yeah, cool.
And I can see why it's so beloved. It's so good when you know you read something that could be overhyped and not for you, and as long as you push through, like it's almost like a given that manga isn't going to be as strong as it gets until like 10 volumes in, which I know is a big amount of time to, like, you know, obviously it's not going to be bad when it starts. There are very few. I mean, Death Note may be the outlier for me so far. It's like the first manga that I'm like, I really am not enjoying this, but I'm gonna go through it.
I wasn't into it either. My little sister really loved Death Note in high school, and I never really.
Which is too much explaining before doing something. Just do the thing you're thinking about doing, man.
Just tell me what you're going to do and why you're going to do it.
Exactly. Write my own name in the Death Note so I can stop reading this. Right?
You know what doesn't take 10 volumes to get going, though? Was that a good segue?
Yeah, sure. I'm done.
Asadora.
Asadora.
Asadora. I don't know. Asadora.
Who knows?
Anyway, whatever. Rosawa's latest one to be translated and printed, I assume.
Yeah, and this is one of the, I guess, obviously... I don't know, but was Monster and 20th Century Boys, were they getting translated as it was getting published in Japan? Or was it, or did it all happen afterwards?
I don't know, because by the time I read them, it was like the second time it had been printed. So I'm not sure if it was happening simultaneously or if it was like... I'm assuming there's a bit of a delay.
Yeah. Well, look, for me, this is the first Urasawa book that I've been reading concurrently as it gets updated, as it's released, yeah. It's called Asadora, and it is about a little girl who, to sum it up, it's about a little girl who loses her family to a monster attack and wants to fly planes.
And there's an old man, because it's an Urasawa comic.
Yeah, look, Connor and I have done a couple of episodes where we talk about Urasawa comics in the last few months, Connor hadn't read Asadora, and after I read like 5 chapters, I was like, you gotta read this too.
Yeah, it's so
we were
good.
Both reading it, just being like, oh my god. And we've talked about I read Monster, I really enjoyed it. Obviously that's his most famous work. 20th Century Boys and Pluto I definitely prefer over Monster. I think Monster is an amazing story with some weak characters in it, especially all the female characters.
Oh really?
Yeah, I found, what's her name, Beth, or
the sister.
Yeah. I found her like really, really just like
bit
underwritten.
Wet.
And he's like the main character in this is a girl who you haven't met. There's basically time jumps throughout this. We're kind of seeing this girl grow up, and it's kind of about monsters. It's kind of about war. It's kind of about just like a girl and an old man.
Yeah.
I find all the female characters in this like the strongest that I've ever experienced in one of his books, especially the main character. She's awesome.
Yeah, it's such a cute book so far. I think you might be further ahead of it than me. Are you reading it digitally?
Yeah. I'm reading all the fan translated things, so right. I can stay up to date.
So I
got hooked.
I haven't seen a time jump yet. All I've seen is like her sort of being accidentally kidnapped by this old man. And then sort of realizing that her family might be gone and deciding to try and help everyone by delivering packages of rice balls. And it's so cute. And just like a really beautifully told story. The faces are, as always, like incredibly lived in and real feeling. I just think it like, just get it. You know, you should be reading everything he publishes. Everyone should be reading everything he publishes.
He is so good. Did you read Sneeze yet, the collection of short stories?
I did. Oh, man, so good. I love the little mice one. So funny.
Yes.
So great.
Yeah.
So perfect. Just
the best.
He's such a genius. And I love reading his kind of more, like, almost like diary comics, where he's sort of talking about meeting famous musicians or, like, his travels and stuff. It's just, he's such a delight. Such a delightful seeming man.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But it's so good to be, like, oh, I really like the girl in the Urasawa book, as opposed to being like, oh, I really like the old men in this book. The old men are my favorite characters in like almost all of his series.
Yeah, very true. I do love his old men.
Old men or old robots, depending on which one you're reading.
So
I was, before you rudely cut me off with your talk of an excellent series. So volume one of Asadora just came out. Viz published it. You should be able to get it everywhere and highly recommend it. It's a beautiful edition.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just going to say, obviously Berserk, a very, very like dude heavy, lots of blood and gore and manliness,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and like out of date language that you can't say anymore. It's great. Lots of fun. But to counter that, I'm going deep into the works of Rumiko Takahashi.
Oh, cool. You know, I've never read Ranma, and I really want to.
Well, she's got so... Urusei Yatsura is one of her biggest ones. And then Ranma as well, and Inuyasha.
Mm-hmm.
But Viz have just published... last year, they put out the first volume of Maison Ikkoku.
Ooh.
And they also just released the first volume of, I think these are relatively short runs as well, so it's only like one or two volumes, of Mermaid Saga. And her art is so good. Her jokes are so funny. Do you know anything about Mermaid Saga?
Only what I've heard from friends. It sounds really fun.
It's like 9 stories across 16 chapters, all based on ancient Japanese legends. The whole thing is like, yeah, it's like mermaids existing in a time where if you eat mermaid flesh, you'll be immortal.
Sucks to be a mermaid.
I've been reading that like a little bit. I've only read like a little tiny bit of the first one. I only just got it. And then Maison Ikkoku, if you ever see it, Siobhan, you have to pick it up.
Yeah,
love it so much. It is a book about a bunch of residents living in a rundown apartment, and a hot new, caretaker of the apartments, like the apartment boss or whatever, moves in, and there's a teenage boy who is like just constantly failing his exams, who has the hots for this new staff member, and it's just impossible to do anything in this awful apartment because everyone's just like always distracting him and always like stepping on his feet whenever he's trying to make an advance. And it's, you know, it's a goofy comedy manga, but written by a girl that's still as horny as every comedy manga written by a boy I've ever read. And it's great.
That sounds so You'd fun. I really want to check that out.
Beautiful editions, nice and thick, great covers. And the art is beautiful.
I'm going to check that out. I'm going to try and find that. Is Berserk in print at the moment? Or is it digital?
Yes. They are actually re-releasing it at the moment as these big hardcover
Oh, cool.
Hardcover volumes called Berserk Deluxe.
I've seen those.
They have they have 3 volumes each in them, and they look very, very good.
That sounds cool.
He's like, the main character from Berserk, he's been branded by demons, and so the brand is like on the cover of the volumes.
Sick.
Very spooky stuff.
Cool. Hey, can I tell you about one last spooky comic?
Yep, and then we're going to wrap it up for today.
Spooky in a biblical sense. So I got this from my local library, and it's called Harrowing of Hell by Evan Dahm, published by Iron Circus Comics, I believe. Let me just double-check that. Based in Chicago? Yeah, Iron Circus Comics, based in Chicago. And this is like a sort of a very scholarly and serious exploration of, like, you know when Jesus died and then he went to hell?
Do I ever?
And then he was reborn 3 days later? This is like, what happened to him in those 3 days? So it's like Jesus going through hell, but it is genuinely the most gripping, sort of moving thing that I've read recently. So expertly told, so well paced. The art is like glorious. It's all sort of black and white and really, really red. And I just think it's like, you know, regardless of how you feel about the fella and his many followers, it's a really interesting read, but just also like a fucking great comic. Like, so gorgeous. Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh, so it's just red, black, and white as the only colors in the entire.
And the look how cool the speech bubbles are. I know that's really lame, but like, they're all sort of.
They are some cool. It's a little like the almost like the point of the speech bubbles. It's like a little ribbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Gymnastics ribbon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
beautiful.
It's really, really beautiful. I really highly recommend it. Get it from your local library or from probably a bookstore, I reckon.
So what's it called again?
It's called The Harrowing of Hell by Evan Dahm. And I haven't read anything by Evan Dahm, but I'm going to look him up because he's a clever little sausage.
We lied to Archie's school, the one that's closest to us, so he could go into it, about going to church every weekend. Should I buy him this comic so he knows more about Jesus?
Yeah, definitely. It's a good intro, I think. Just a nice, gentle, all-ages friendly.
What's your favourite thing about Jesus, Archie? Oh, when he was in hell for 3 days. The speech bubbles were cool.
Does he have to do religious studies classes? Is he like okay at it?
Yeah, I mean, I think religion. I mean, like, I went to Catholic school growing up too, which is why I was like, oh, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, you do three lessons a week, I guess. And it's like, you know, you learn a Bible story, then you draw a picture of it.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. Pretty much.
And like, and you know, the Bible stories, I think as you get older, you learn, hey, maybe some of these just like are awful. But when you're a kid, it's just like, be a good person.
Yeah.
And good things will happen to you.
Like, look at this magic dude. He made all these morals. Fish. He made all this fish and bread.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Archie has been smashing so many excellent comics.
Yeah.
I gave him a short box at the beginning of the hot school holidays in December. And it was filled with Adventure Time comics, heaps of those, heaps of Simpsons comics that I grew up with. And then like just some of like our favorite all ages series that we read over the years. So there was all the Goldie Vance issues.
Awesome.
There was Space Battle Lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
There was Brave Chef Brianna. Do you remember that one about the girl
so
who
good.
Opens the restaurant in the world of monsters?
Brave Chef Banana.
Yeah. a bunch of the Art Baltazar and Franco.
Yeah, awesome.
Little Hellboy, little Teen Titans or whatever, Tiny Titans, all that kind of stuff. And he's read, I think, every single comic in there.
Yeah.
He loves it. Especially the Adventure Time comics, which is funny because he's never watched it before.
Oh, that's so funny.
But he loves the comics. And when Ryan North wrote, like, almost all of the first 24 issues, so...
Yeah. I just can't wait until Otto is old enough for... Squirrel Girl, because one of his favorite games at the moment is to pretend to be a superhero and to go around, usually Gotham City, and make all of the villains into good guys by talking to them and being friends. I was like, that is so much like Squirrel Girl's MO, but I just think he's going to eat it up, but it's just a little bit too wordy for him at the moment. But he's super into Dog Man, and he's getting back into Tintin, which I'm thrilled about, and Anders is still
on high
rotation.
You should try and track down... the James Kochalka comics for kids, especially Peanut Butter and Jeremy.
He's been reading the Johnny Boo ones. They've got them all at our library, and he really likes those as well. They're good fun. There's just so many great all-ages comics. So many good kids comics.
Yeah, they really are. It's great. Power to everyone that writes them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got all the Squirrel Girl volumes to give to Archie at some point soon. And I also bought him a copy of The Prince and the Dressmaker, which
he'll
really, really love.
That's so good.
Yeah. And the moral of that story rules.
It's so beautiful.
Like, it's such a great
and also
message
good job getting a copy of it. It's really hard to track down these days. It's sold out so completely.
I've got it on Amazon Prime.
Damn it, Bezos.
Bezos. On that note, and I recommended it to you, but I'm just going to recommend it to you again so everyone is on the record that I've told Siobhan to watch it. Because Prince and the Dressmaker really reminds me of a movie that I watched at the beginning of the year called Wolf Walkers.
Oh yeah,
by an Irish studio called Cartoon Saloon.
They're so
it's
good.
Streaming on Apple TV Plus, it is probably my favorite movie that I've seen in the last year. About it's an animated, beautifully animated 2D animated movie about like a girl living in a castle. And outside of the castle is a beautiful forest that she's not allowed to go into. And when she does, she meets a girl that can turn into a wolf. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Cool.
It's beautiful. It looks great. The story's fantastic. It kind of plays on what you expect a story to do in a Disney movie, even though it looks similar to one.
Mm-hmm.
And so then from there on, I went off just classic Levin style, but I took my wife with me. And we watched every single movie and short that Cartoon Saloon have directed and produced in the last 2 decades.
Awesome.
You've watched...
Secret of Kells.
You've seen...
Secret of Kells.
You have seen
like
that one.
It's like a big favorite in our house.
It's a killer movie.
It's so good.
It's so weird. And it's so fucking Irish. That's the weirdest thing. Like, as like a white Australian, there's not much from my, you know, culture that I would want to see put to a full-length animated feature.
Mm.
But the... Irish folklore is incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess, like, yeah.
My mom's,
you and me are both somewhat
been,
Irish, so...
Well, my mom's always been very keen on, like, us doing Irish shit. So, like, been to Ireland a couple of times, seen the Book of Kells, did Irish dancing as a child, have a stupid name,
excellent.
All that shit. So, like, I was familiar with, you know, some of that stuff, but so beautifully told, such gorgeous, like the fact that you can make a movie about, like, a Bible, essentially, and make it that, like, compelling for children as well, is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I've been listening to a podcast hosted by three Irish people called Let's Fight a Boss. It's a video game and kind of movies podcast, mm-hmm. and it's really good. And one of the host's name is Niamh, but it's spelt... Do you know how to spell it?
N-I-A-M-H?
Yeah, A-M-H.
Yeah.
Like, how?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? H is a V. What's your problem, man?
Yeah, and there's the leak, the main character in Wolfwalkers, his name is like Cersei or something like that. Maybe that's in Song of the Sea,
which
is like a low-key favorite as well. Have you seen Song of the Sea?
Nah, I want to check that one out as well.
It's about a little girl who can't talk, and her older brother hates her, and he's really, really mean to her at the start of the movie.
Sounds like me and my sister.
Turns out it's like she may be able to turn into a Selkie. Mm. So like a seal, like a mythical sequel.
There's this movie called The Secret of Rowan Inish, something like that. Secret Island of Rowan Inish, that I watched a lot mm-hmm. as a kid, and it's about Selkies, and it's this like super weird, unsettling kids movie about Selkies. I highly recommend checking it out. Probably be too weird for kids these days, but it's good.
Kids these days.
With all their brightly coloured 3Ds.
And on that note, let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening to Serious Issues.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to try and get Siobhan back. I've actually been talking to the other Sans Pants guys about the potential of making this a weekly podcast again, just with different guests each week, and then Siobhan whenever we can have her.
Yes, please. So, I'd love that.
Hopefully more Serious Issues coming your way. Basically me forcing the Sans Pants guys and girls to read comics that I love.
That's good.
I think I'm going to get Jackson and Joel to read Uzumaki. That'll be fun.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah. So you can find Serious Issues on Facebook. We have a group where you can discuss comics and or manga, or both. Or movies even. Sure, come talk about movies.
Just come talk to us.
There's one guy in there who posts about a movie every single day, and he doesn't even listen to the podcast, so he won't even hear this. But this is the closest thing you're ever going to get to a shout-out, Noah, so enjoy it. I don't know how he found us. One time I was like, hey, we talked about this on the latest episode, and he was like, I don't listen to podcasts.
So weird. What are you doing here, man?
But every day.
What's the point?
He was like, Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I'm watching Deadpool. Why have you posted this in my group about my podcast?
My true love, Deadpool.
You can find our Facebook group and post about Deadpool every Valentine's Day at facebook.com/groups/seriousissuespodcast. And you can find us individually online. Siobhan is at Siobhan CBG.
Mm-hmm.
That's SIOBHANCBG on Simple. Twitter and Instagram.
Phonetic. Easy.
Simple. Irish. I'm at LevDog, LevDawg. On Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Come and say hello. I've got some other podcasts, including Hey Fam and All the Small Games, which are also on the Sans Pants Radio Network. So go to sanspantsradio.com and check out all the great podcasts there. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.